Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Is it just me? Or are female sex predators just more and more active in our educational establishments? I'm Emma Kenny. Welcome to Bang to Rights, the deep dive crime podcast, which takes you through some of the most heinous crimes the world has ever seen. Hi guys, welcome back. Thanks for joining me. This case of Hayley Nichelle Clifton Carmack is one of those that, again, makes you question whether the legal services that are meant to protect victims really understand what they're doing when they're dealing with an attractive female who's in the dock. I genuinely mean that. I think when you're an attractive female, it's almost impossible for a court to look at you and believe that you were a predator. It's like, well, they don't need to be a predator. They could probably have sex with whoever they wish to have sex with. Therefore, are they really guilty? Yes, they are. If they're having sex with minors, particularly when they are professionals meant to actually protect them, they are certainly acting illegally. But it's almost like cognitive dissonance occurs, and they genuinely cannot compute why this beautiful young woman would want to actually be a predator. And that's where it all goes so wrong. Predators aren't born into bodies where they're walking around going, I'm a sex predator. They're born into average human bodies every day of the week, and they go about doing their predatory business. Just because someone is attractive and is granted that pretty privilege doesn't mean that they are not a predator beneath. You can tell already. I'm frustrated by the outcome of this case. Let me know your thoughts as ever. Maybe you will feel differently as this comes to the conclusion. But for now, let's just talk about exactly what went on. So let's talk about Hayley Nichelle Clifton Carmack. She's basically a newly employed maths teacher to some degree when this crime occurs. She was 26 years of age. She just started her first full-time role at Laquay High School in Missouri. But really early on, in what I can only describe as her unbelievably short career, one of the things that students and staff alike started to notice was she was just a little bit friendly with certain students, a little bit too friendly, shall we say. And she was being really inappropriate with the things that she would talk about, intimate details about her marriage, for example. I'm just going to throw it out there. Never in my entire experience as a student, certainly pre-16, have I ever heard a teacher come in and discuss their sex life. And understandably, this concerned the administration in the school, but let me tell you, not enough to actually do anything about it. And this is how, again, predators slip through the net. Because people look in the direction of someone who looks so nice and thinks, could they ever actually be negative? Of course they can. So this case, it's obviously about the teacher, about the predator, but it's also about somebody else who plays a willing and knowing part that you will not believe as I go into the details. Because if you think that you're going to have a parent protecting you in this situation, think again. So let's talk about our perpetrator, Hayley Nichelle Clifton Carmack. She was born in 1997. So like I said, she was 26 years of age at the time of her arrest. There is not a lot documented about her early childhood, but what that would mean essentially is there is nothing that is so outlandish that we've had to hear about it. Usually in mitigation, for example, you'll find out if somebody's had a horrendously abusive experience in the past, you'll find out about whether they dealt with poverty and so on and so forth. Therefore, if it's not actually documented, it's likely that she had a pretty typical upbringing, as typical and normal as things can be. We always know that people can still go through lots of traumas, even if they've had a marginally nice upbringing. But what I have managed to find is a poster that welcomed her to the school and that noted that she was one of seven siblings from a blended family. So I suppose we could pick that apart a little bit. And many of you will come from big families, you'll have had a great upbringing, but you will also know that if you've got a big family, it's really challenging for a parent to give you lots of direct attention, not because they don't adore you, not because they wouldn't give their life for you, just because time-wise, it's challenging. You've got lots of children around you, you want to give them all time. And that can sometimes mean that you feel a little bit abandoned, like I say, not on a purposeful level, but just because of time. That said, many people will be quite happy with the small slithers of time that they got from their parents and will have not had any trauma because of that. But there has been a clear breakdown in the relationship somewhere along the line for there to be these children and for them, therefore, to become a blended family, because it means that relationships have broken down for those people to then connect with another party to create that blended family. So there'll be some collateral damage potentially from divorce, or like I said, from one parent being absent from that relationship. And so again, we can say maybe on an attachment level, there will be some concerns there. It's also noted that her favourite hobbies were cooking and outdoor activities, which I'm going to throw out. Sounds quite vague, doesn't it? I like to cook. What do you like to cook? Anything specific? Just everything. I like cooking everything. And also for my hobbies, they're just like outdoor activities. All outdoor activities, every single one of them, just seems quite vast. Do you like hunting bears? Probably not hunting bears, but apart from that, I'm fine. Anyway, the point is, nothing too obvious to denote from those particular interests, just that she obviously has a wide interest base, I imagine we could say. I also couldn't find any information on her high school or the college education history, but clearly she did well enough to get a job in a school. What I did find that she'd had 3 to 4 prior arrest warrants for failure to show up to court. These were actually for relatively minor traffic stops, but that's really poor behaviour. To actually have warrants out because you failed to turn up for court shows that you're not thinking consequentially. And that is important, because when you are involved in criminal activities, one of the things that we often see play in is that people aren't thinking ahead. They're not considering the impact it might have on their life 4 or 5 years down the line. They're thinking about what kind of an impact it'll have on their life in the moment. And I think probably she is impetuous without thinking, just on a general behavioural level, from what I understand about her past, as in those particular relatively minor traffic stops not being dealt with, and also what actually plays out in the crime itself. Now, when she reaches adulthood, she's living in Waynesville, Missouri, and she's living in a quiet community, basically.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
In Pulaski County. She'd also met a guy, she'd married him. He's called Chance Carmack. He was an amateur mixed martial arts fighter. He'd also completed basic US training in the army, and the couple go on to have 2 daughters together. And when you actually see photographs and posts about these two, particularly those that were reported after she's arrested, really those posts and pictures just paint a picture of a young family really embedded in local life. So Haley's obviously presenting as a mother and also a newly qualified educator. They're in a relationship. Everything seems to be very much the American dream at that moment in time. Now we get to August of 2022. This is when she takes up her first teaching job. She's working at Laquay High School and she's working as a maths teacher. So she's obviously a bright individual. Now, this school is part of the Laquay R5 district. And when I actually went on the school's Facebook page, it introduced her and basically said that she was a young maths teacher who was excited about creating opportunities for students to find success in math. Which you would hope so, wouldn't you? You know, you wouldn't want somebody who was like, oh, I'm just taking the job because like I have nothing better to do and I'm not really that enthusiastic. I'm quite lackadaisical about the whole math stuff. So clearly, we expect at a minimal somebody wanting to create opportunities for students to find success in math when it's what you teach. But it's her first professional role in education. And this was confirmed by the superintendent who dealt with this case, because he later emphasised, went on to say, listen, she was literally employed for only about 1.5 years before everything collapsed. I mean, 1.5 years, 18 months, and she's actually managed not only to go from getting a job to becoming an actual criminalised predator. That is pretty quick going, isn't it? It means that, like I said, she isn't thinking ahead. She's very much concerned about her own needs in the moment. Now, beneath this surface that she's presenting, even though this is her first job in a teaching role, and that people are therefore going to afford her the fact that she doesn't necessarily have the same information that she'll have in 10 years about expected practice. We understand, you grow into a job. Sometimes you make mistakes. That's why often you have mentorship when you start a new job. You have line managers who are going to help you identify what needs to change. We always afford someone empathy and an understanding that they've not got used to the environment yet. But even when you are very early on in your teaching career, when you're training, in fact, to be a teacher, one of the things that you are going to learn about is professional boundaries. You're going to learn about safeguarding. So you should automatically know that there is a relationship that is appropriate to have with a student versus a relationship that is inappropriate to have. And I'm not talking about the one that I'm talking about in this case regarding the sexual misconduct, that goes without saying. I'm just talking about professional boundaries, making sure there is a distance between you and the student. You can be kind, compassionate, caring, engaging, empathetic. That goes absolutely as part of your job, ideally. But you also need to make sure that you maintain a professional distance because young people haven't figured out the nuances of relationships yet. Young people have got stuff going on in the background of their lives where if you show them too much investment, they can get confused. And it's not fair on them. You're protecting them by managing those boundaries. But she doesn't get that memo because pretty early on, after she starts teaching, it's not just the staff that are noticing there seems to be some idiosyncrasies about her behaviour that stand out in a more negative way. The students are noticing it too. They feel like something is wrong with this particular individual. So over the course of 2022 and right into 2023, it isn't just one student, it's multiple students who just feel that this woman, this teacher, this mentor, this apparent maths teacher is blurring the boundaries between teacher and student. So she's far too friendly with the students. Now, it comes down to also the way that she's dressing. And I get that we live in a very liberal society. I appreciate that everyone is allowed to present in the fashion that they feel comfortable, as long as it is contextual with their environment. Now, if you are a teacher, that means not walking in super tight low-cut tops and tight leggings. You're not going to work in a bar or a nightclub where that kind of dress is completely contextual. This is a school with boys and girls full of hormones, and it's confusing for them. They don't want to be looking at you and blurring the boundaries regarding what your job is in their mind. And the fact that she's betraying those boundaries suggests that she really wants to be noticed. So she's actively desiring validation from younger people, which she should absolutely not wish to do. And people said she just wanted to show off her body in ways that a teacher in a classroom shouldn't. Then, if that isn't concerning enough, she just starts having conversations about her sex life with students. Literally starts talking about experiences that she'd had with her husband in front of them, going through what they did in the bedroom, what she liked, what she didn't like. Now, I don't know about you, but if that had happened in my classroom, my jaw would have been on the floor. I also wouldn't have said anything. Yeah, I might have had a giggle with my friends later on. We might have thought, wow, that's a little bit weird. But also I'd have thought, maybe that's kind of cool that my teacher's having that conversation with us and she's seeing us as young adults and she's allowing us into her world. Because that's the thing when you're a kid, psychologically, emotionally, socially, environmentally, educationally, you've not been equipped yet with what's appropriate and inappropriate. We accept so much more when we're young people than we do when we're older because we don't know ourselves in the way that we will. And also it's really difficult to challenge people, particularly people in authority, so we just go on with it and get along with it. With respect, in this circumstance, they will likely have felt that they were quite special, that she feels that she has this connection with them, and they will have seen her more potentially as a peer in that moment than a teacher, which again, can be quite exciting and confusing when you're in a scenario with somebody who should be an authority. And because that would be so distinct on the whole from all the other teachers, that could make her stand out as a good teacher for these young people, but not for all of the young people. Some of them are certainly feeling that she's going too far. One of the things that students would often recount was that she'd literally go into detail about her husband's sexual preferences and the not one-offs. It's consistent enough to end up raising concern within the school. So during the time that she was teaching at that school, the superintendent who investigated the case actually commented that she'd previously been spoken to about getting too close with students and also about that inappropriate dress. However, no one other than Hayley, the principal and the superintendent actually knew about that discussion. So everybody's concerned about her behaviour prior to her offending, but it's not going as far as it needs to go. So the staff are concerned, the students are concerned, the principal is concerned, but no one is taking any real active action against her. Just a conversation, possibly a warning, but certainly not a formalised one. So that speaking to her does not escalate to that formal disciplinary action or suspension. So she ends up remaining in the classroom, at least for now, all the way into the summer of 2023. Now, bear in mind, during this period of time, her marriage breaks down. And I have no doubt whatsoever, the whole class were aware of why. I'm sure that she went into graphic detail as to what was going wrong in her relationship. And I don't know, hoping that maybe those 14 to 16 year olds might be able to cast some light on what she can do with it on an advice level. I mean, it's ludicrous, isn't it? She's basically using them as a vent for her own frustrations, as some kind of personal therapy situation, and it's ludicrous. But the reality is, this relationship between her and her husband, who are bringing up the two children, inevitably breaks down. And I say inevitably because it's not just because they're not getting on about what's going on in their bedroom together. It's because clearly she's got an interest in someone else who is distinct from her married relationship. So it's the 23rd of August 2023, her husband goes ahead and files for a divorce. Now, we don't know his exact reason for the divorce, but let's just say around this time, she's begun this emotional entanglement with a student. And anybody who's ever been in a situation where a partner is starting to have some kind of emotional affair or sexual affair, you know it for the whole. Don't get me wrong, there's that saying, you will be the last to know when affairs play out. Yeah, you might be the last one with the actual direct knowledge, I get that. But believe me, for most people, including myself in my first marriage, you know. It's as simple as that. They start losing weight. They start getting super excited about hanging onto the phone. They start going out places and doing things that are very distinct to what they ordinarily do. The hearts of contact, all of that stuff plays in to these relationships breaking down. And yeah, you might only find out that the actual affair was happening at the very end of that experience, but you knew something was going on because the emotional energy has shifted from you to that third party. So it would make sense that even though we don't explicitly know why he started those divorce proceedings, it's likely that that's the main candidate. So there is a student who is 16 years of age. 16! How on earth a 26-year-old mother of two can actually be attracted to a 16-year-old young man? I have no idea. And this is clearly what's been affecting her marriage long before the police ever get involved. So throughout late 2023, she's really hotting up on the inappropriate behavior. And her...
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Misconduct is becoming more and more and more severe. So first of all, witnesses are actually watching her being increasingly flirtatious, increasingly inappropriate with students. She's continually wearing that clothing that's just very much meant to accentuate her figure. And again, she goes on and on about talking about her intimate details of her personal life, despite the fact that she's had the talk with the school and she's been advised not to. Now, during November and early December of 2023, this is when those blurred and inappropriate and highly problematic behaviours and breaching of boundaries turn into predatory criminal behaviour, because it's at this point she begins having a sexual relationship with the 16-year-old student. Again, 16 years of age. Some people will say, particularly if you're in the UK, where you can have sex at 16 years of age, that is the age of consent. Some people will say, well, she's 26, he's 16. We see men in relationships in the UK at 26 with 16-year-olds. I think that's highly inappropriate. Let me just make that clear. I know there'll be somebody screaming at me now because you'll know somebody who's had a relationship like that. You might have had a relationship like that and it's worked out down the line. Personally, I just don't find it appropriate. I think 10 years when you're 16 is a lifetime. You're not going to be who you are 10 years down the line as you are at 16. You don't know anywhere near as much as you're going to know. And also you've no comparison basis. So you don't know what it's like to be treated well or otherwise in intimate spaces in relationships. I think it's really inappropriate when people get involved in those kind of relationships. But in America, which is where this is playing out, you can't consent at 16. And also, it's really grave when you additionalize the fact that she's a teacher. And even in the UK, if you were 16 at the age of consent, you could still lose your job without a shadow of a doubt immediately if it was found that you were having an inappropriate relationship with somebody of that age frame. So she is acting illegally. Like I said, in the UK, it's more difficult to wrap your head around because of the fact that he is 16. But in the States, they connect that the damage can be absolutely harrowing when there is this difference of 10 years and we've got an adult versus a child and also a teacher who should be protecting him, not blurring those boundaries and confusing him and in the long term, traumatizing him. Now we get to the 7th of December, 2023. This is when a student, she's obviously really concerned about what's going on, goes ahead and approaches the school resource office at Laquay High School. And this particular student says, look, this teacher of mine, she's having an inappropriate sexual relationship with a 16-year-old boy. Now, you can imagine, can't you, in that moment, the school clearly have been aware of the fact that this woman acts inappropriately around the boys. It's as simple as that. We can see that that's played out because it's been described about the way that she looks, the way she dresses, the way that she acts, things she says to the students. This has already been a topic of discussion. So now you have an actual student say, look, I absolutely hard and fast know that she is having a sexual relationship with another student. That is going to blow the socks off anybody who might have heard of her inappropriate behavior, because that is the worst of the worst, particularly if a teacher has been spoken to before, particularly if you know that that warning that she was given didn't become formalized. I mean, that is terrifying for a school, because at the end of the day, they think to themselves, oh my God, we haven't acted, and the worst thing that could possibly have happened has actually happened. Now, Pulaski County Sheriff's Office at this point is contacted by the school, which is a correct safeguarding procedure to follow. And at that moment in time, the teacher's identified as Hayley Carmack. So this is the first official complaint. Like I said, there's been those discussions, but there's not been a formalised complaint procedure put in place. Now, according to the witness testimony that was given, these suspicions about this teacher has just been going on pretty much since the day she walked through the school doors. Now, it's Detective Sergeant Brian Gibbs who actually goes to speak with the initial witness. And that witness, they needed to get permission from their guardian to do that. That's given. Now, according to this student who is full of information, they learnt about the relationship after the 16-year-old victim basically showed photographs of his back covered with scratches. So again, people will think to themselves, he's proud of it. Of course he's proud of it. Of course a 16-year-old young man who's having sex with a gorgeous looking young teacher who flaunts a body in front of other students is impressed that he's managed to have sex with that teacher. It goes without saying, because he's 16. He's not thinking about how will this affect me in 10 years time? How will I feel when authority figures are concerned? Will I ever be able to look at someone in education again and trust them? Will I be able to go through my own life, having children potentially my own, and actually trust them to other professionals when this has happened to me? This is all a future collateral issue. It's not an immediate collateral issue. It's the future. When you start to process things as an adult and you start to realize how you were exploited, how you were controlled, how you were groomed, they're very disconcerting, destabilizing experiences as a man to feel, because you think you knew better. You think you wanted it. It's only down the line you realize, no, teenage hormones made you want it. The rest was all manipulation by the predator. Now, basically, we know that it's Carmack who's given him those scratches, because he even evidences where he got them. Apparently, it was on his driveway when they were having sex in his driveway. Now, this same witness student also told the officer that they'd literally overheard a phone call between him and Carmack where they heard that victim say, it's his birthday. And Carmack replies saying, I'm out of state, but I can send you money, baby. Again, that's grooming behavior. You're going to send gifts. You're going to confuse that person. You're going to make them feel special. You're going to make them feel like they're in a relationship with you. And don't get me wrong, when it comes down to predators, they often convince themselves and delude themselves that they are actually in a consenting relationship with a young person. That's how they maintain their lives without considering themselves horrendous human beings. They're able to carry on normally because they don't think they're doing anything wrong. They're having this nice relationship with a much younger person who actually they should be protecting, but they delude themselves that that person, that child, wants it in the same way and respect as they want it. But the whole premise of this is they imprison them in that confusion. And also they're so lovely to them. They send them money, they buy them gifts, that that child cannot see that they are indeed an abuse victim. Now, as that witness is being interviewed, another thing that the student said was that Carmack's way too friendly and that she dresses inappropriately at school. So this actual investigator says, listen, tell me about that. Describe what's inappropriate. And he says, look, she'll come into school, she'll wear tight or low-cut shirts, and it's to show off her, quote, headlights. Also, she'll wear tight leggings to show off her camel toe. Just going to throw it out there, lady. As somebody who very much loves leggings, that's one of my fears, and that's why I always wear long jumpers when I'm wearing leggings, because nobody wants your camel toe showing off anything to anyone, do they? And if you are the kind of person who's kind of flaunting that, you like the fact that basically there is this thin layer between you and your naked self, that demonstrates that you like to be seen in a sexualized manner. Mostly because you want the validation, without a doubt, in this circumstance, but also because it's confusing for the individuals around you. She's going to know that those young boys full of testosterone are going to be staring at her in a sexualized manner, and she likes that power. Now, they also told the police that one of the things that Carmack did all the time was openly discuss her personal life with the class, told them how she'd gotten into trouble with the administration. So literally gone into class after having this very serious conversation. Don't get me wrong, it should have been formalised. She should absolutely be monitored for the actions that she was questioned over where the principal was concerned. But to then have gone through that where most of us would just feel absolute shame, wouldn't we? Let's just put this down to, you're dressing for school, you go in and you're pulled into an office, and as a teacher, you're told by the person in charge of the school, you are dressing inappropriately. You would burn with shame, particularly if they've kind of got a point. Don't get me wrong, some people get harassed for the wrong reasons when they dress in a way that makes them feel comfortable, that actually isn't a problem. And you do get overzealous managers pulling them in and being cruel to them because they just don't like their style. But that's not the case here. We're talking about that moment where you could look at yourself in the mirror and think, oh, this person's got a point. But she doesn't care. She has the arrogance to actually go in and just describe the fact that she's been questioned about it because she clearly thinks it's quite funny. And again, is a connector and a bridge with those students. Oh, look, I'm a rebel too. I'm one of those people that gets told off by the principal just like you guys would if you get in trouble. So again, that's forging that psychological connection that we are the same and the administration, well, they're distinct from us. But it clearly demonstrates that she has no impulse control when it comes down to thinking about consequences. She's in there straight away, putting herself at risk just by having those conversations, but does it anyway. Now, this witness also explains that the victim was actually the main reason why her divorce was pushed through. Hayley had allegedly said that she wanted divorce because her husband, quote, only wanted to do butt stuff. Let that sink in. I mean, I've seen quite a few reasons for divorce. I have. You know, now we have no fault divorces in the UK where you can just say neither of us are at fault. It's just one of those things. But let's just look at the other ones. So, for example, adultery, that's the reason why you could get a 6-month divorce as opposed to having to wait 2 years, or somebody who's being really aggressive and violent towards you, you're being abused. Obviously, that's another reason. Or just unreasonable behavior.
Looking for a little Hollywood style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. T's and C's 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
But you don't necessarily need to state the reason behind it. It's just unreasonable as far as you're concerned. You get quicker divorces in that respect. But now we've changed it in the UK and you can do it much more quickly with a no-fault divorce. But I've never, ever, ever heard of the reason for a divorce is because my husband wanted to do butt stuff only. Again, this student should not know anything about the bedroom antics of this adult female. Now, after this detective has heard this information, the very same day, he then goes to the school to talk with Carmack. He, at this point, seizes her phone via search warrant, and it's actually clear that Hayley's not going to be obtuse, she's not going to be problematic about that. She hands over her phone, gives him it with no issues, and this kind of puts the detective on the back foot, because he feels like this is not the normal, typical behaviour of someone who's facing these really serious accusations. You know, she's handing it over, she doesn't seem like she's got anything to hide, there's no defensiveness, there's no distress. It's not as if she feels that she's done anything wrong. But again, I bring you back to a true predator. A true predator who is a perpetrator of this kind of abuse towards children doesn't think they've done anything wrong. They feel like what's going on with the individual that they're having sex with is an accepted part of their relationship with them, and that it's all positive, that they're both enjoying it. So what's the problem? They just don't see that line because they've changed the boundaries of acceptability and appropriate behaviour, full stop. Now, Carmack is obviously asked about whether she's been having this kind of inappropriate relationship with the student, and she denies all knowledge of this. She said, "It's absolutely ludicrous. I haven't had any relationship with students outside of the school." And he ends up finding himself advising Carmack that, with respect, even if she is speaking to students out of the school, there's nothing illegal about it. It could be a school policy violation, but it's nothing that's going to bring her criminal charges. He also spoke to her about the accusations. She denies every single one of them. She said that she'd never had contact with the victim outside of school. And the detective ends up thanking Hayley for her time and then withdraws and leaves the situation, probably feeling quite blindsided, and as if maybe what he's been told isn't necessarily the full truth, because she seems so okay what's playing out. Now we get to the 13th of December 2023. This is when the detective returns and says to Hayley, "Look, I've got a copy for a search warrant. That means I can search through your phone." She has obviously handed over the phone prior to this, but she hasn't given them the passcode. He'd taken it from her, but they hadn't said they were going to look through it. Now she says at this point, "Look, I've got an attorney. My attorney's given me some advice, and that attorney has said I can't provide you with the passcode." Again, that makes sense. If you are now representing her, you are going to be saying, "Let's make it as difficult as possible for these officers. Let's get some time. Just say you're not willing to engage with that." And also, it might be that they can't actually get into the phone. It might not work. So it just gives us a bit of time with the hope that maybe they're not even going to be able to extract that particular data. So at this point, because she's refused to give them the passcode, they send it off to a specialist who can get in without the passcode. Of course, they have amazing individuals now who can do this. So it's not going to wash that she hasn't given them the passcode. They're just going to find a way around it. And that's exactly what they do. So we get to the 22nd of December, 9 days later. At this point, the detective receives an email with a PDF file. And in that file is some of the content recovered from Hayley's phone. And it's damning. So the messages that are recovered from her personal phone show a conversation between her and the said victim discussing their relationship. And it's very clear, just from a very slight glance, that these are not student-teacher conversations. These are not, "Miss, I could really do with some help with my algebra, because I've never really understood why numbers, brackets, and letters have to be in any equation. It just seems a little bit complicated." It's none of that. Yes, I did go back into my old school thoughts then as to genuinely not understanding why algebra exists. I know that some of you will be mathematicians and be like, "Emma, without algebra, there is no meaning to life." I get it. But I just never understood the brackets, and I never understood the letters, and I didn't understand how a negative could make a positive, and all of those things. It's just not the way my brain works. But basically, that's not what's coming across. The messages between Hayley and her victim indicate there's a sexual and an emotional relationship that's taking place. So she's abandoned her professional conduct, full stop. Now, the Sheriff's Department then receive an anonymous tip, wait for it, that Carmack, what she's thinking about, maybe the area that I'm living in right now isn't for me anymore. Sorry, what's that? "Yeah, I'm just thinking to myself, you know what? I could do with a change. You know, change is as good as a rest, isn't it? That's what they say, change is as good as a rest." I think you mean it's as good as not getting arrested. "No, I'm just saying, maybe I'll just go to Texas. I've got family in Texas. New start, new beginnings. Just a change is as good as a rest." You're going to get arrested if you don't go there, aren't you? "I'm just saying, I like the idea of a 10-gallon hat and a gun, all those things. And even though I can get those things elsewhere, I'm thinking Texas is probably where I should go." I kid you not. to get this tip that Haley is literally fleeing town to go to Texas and was going to literally meet with the victim before she left. She'd even told the person who had reported her for these alleged crimes that she was going to move to Texas to live with her family. What's guilty about that, guys? What's guilty about moving just somewhere completely different? I think I've just had enough now. I'm just going to leave it all behind. Just going to leave it all behind. Close the door. It'll be fine. I'll just do exactly the same as I did with those traffic violations. I'll just ignore them and hope they go away. So the police are obviously deeply concerned about this. She's now somebody who's clearly a flight risk. They go to her residence and the other people who are living at that address say, yeah, she has indeed moved to Texas. She's gone to live there with her family. Also, we don't know whether she's coming back to Missouri. Now, it gets to January the 3rd, 2024. At this point, the detective meets yet another witness in a recorded interview room. So obviously, there are countless people who've seen this inappropriate relationship escalating. Now, this witness advises the detective that she had literally been over to the victim's home and spoken with his father. That's how concerned this second witness was. Now, according to her, the victim's dad, wait for it, knew about the sexual relationship. Knew about it. Knew that Carmack and his son were having sex and just let it play out. So she said that both Carmack and his son had just confided in his father that they were having a sexual relationship. And the victim's father just said to the witness, yeah, I know that Haley and my son have been in a sexual relationship. I'm aware that at the end of the day, Everett Points used other students as lookouts whilst they've been having sex during daytime school. And that Carmack had actually been over to the residence before she left Missouri to go to Texas. Now, this witness, who's obviously horrified, said to the detective that they told the father, look, I'm going to go to the police with this information. I need to tell them the truth about what's playing out. I need to protect your son. And the father said, they're going to do it behind my back, so I may as well let it happen. He also told her that he would, quote, lie for his son if he had to. Just take a breath, everyone. Let that sink in. Now, I'm just going to throw it out there. If I had found out when my boys were 16 that they were having sex with a teacher, that teacher better run real fast because I am a good long distance runner. I don't give up. And I have quite a lot of stamina. So you better be very good or very fast. Because man, I'm going to catch you. And then when I catch you, you're not going to be happy I've caught you. The reality is that's how normal parents act. Also, if I think about this and I consider what it would be like if at 16 years of age, I found out that my daughter was sleeping with a 26-year-old teacher, how would that differ when it comes down to the concept of somebody actually having sex with a 16-year-old girl versus a 16-year-old boy? And the problem that we have again is that in this scenario, the man, the father in this relationship, doesn't think there's a big deal. Why? He's been a 16-year-old boy. He's not thinking of himself as an adult, a grown man, who's meant to look after and be an authority of his child and protect his child. He's thinking, oh, well, if I'd been 16, an attractive teacher who I've had some kind of conversations with because she's been around the house, etc. If I was having sex with her at 16, I'd just be thrilled. So he's using that bias to deflect from reality, which is his son is a victim. And it's so dangerous because, again, it means there's a collusion there with the father who's actually acknowledging, allowing, and enabling this abuse to continue. In fact, enabling it to such a degree that he knows that other students have literally watched out whilst the teacher and the student are having sex in school. The very fact as well that this is his life for his son, well, again, he's placing his son in the wrong position there. Why would he need to lie for his son? His son has done nothing wrong. His son is a victim. And therefore, that shouldn't even come into his mind. He has to lie for his son. He'd be lying for Carmack on behalf of his son, potentially. That's the only way that you can unpick that being anywhere near a fatherly response. But for me, it's not coming across that way. He's saying he'd lie for his son as if he had to because he's seeing his son as being guilty of something when his son is guilty of nothing. Now, after the detective has got this information and had this all validated, he obviously goes and speaks to the victim's father. And that father acknowledges that Carmack has been over to the residence and then has gone off to leave for Texas. So we get to the 4th of January 2024 when the legal process actually began. So this is 28 days after the first report was made. And at this point, the Pulaski County prosecuting attorney, Kevin S. Hillman, filed a felony complaint against Clifton Carmack. So at this point, Hillman charged her with a series of serious sex offences, including second degree statutory rape, sexual contact with a student, fourth degree child molestation, and first degree endangering the welfare of a child. Now, these charges, which are rooted in Missouri's really stringent laws on teacher-student relationships, they do carry substantial potential prison, as they should. But bear in mind, at the time that these charges are filed, she's still in Texas. Now, at the same time, Pulaski County prosecutors formally charged the victim's father, Mark Crichton. That's right. They felt that he'd failed in his duty. So he got a felony charge for endangering the welfare of a child. And his bond was set at $50,000. He was ordered to have no contact with Clifton Carmack as a condition of release. And I think it's really telling that they went ahead and did that because he failed to protect his son. And he actually was willing to lie to protect Carmack to some degree and didn't seem to think it was a big deal that they were having sex on the school premises. Like I say, all of these things.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Are neglectful of responsibilities. Now, the court documents actually said that he permitted Clifton Carmack to come to the family residence to see the boy while he was present rather than go ahead and report the misconduct. And some people, I guess, will feel sorry for this father. They will think, look, he had his hands tied. His son didn't want anything done about it. His son said he was happy. He didn't seem to be traumatized or impacted by this, obviously, because we're dealing with a 16-year-old. How it'll be 10 years down the line will be very different. But in that moment, you can imagine his father's thinking, oh, well, my son doesn't want me to do anything about this. I'm sure that she was very charming and she's very attractive. So his father was probably thinking, oh, well, you know, at the end of the day, I can understand why my son's attracted to her. All these kind of biases just get in the way of the pure reality. On a linear level, she is a predator and she is using this victim after grooming this victim. And the collateral damage will be in the long term, not the immediate term. So of course, no matter who has sympathy for this individual, I 100% agree that he's been neglectful and should get into trouble with the police and should tell a story to the wider community about what is acceptable and unacceptable as a parent. Now, bear in mind, when that father was interviewed, he'd made statements to the detectives such as, they're gonna do it behind my back, so I may as well let it happen. What? Yeah, they're gonna do it behind my back, so I may as well let it happen. Okay, can we just think about some other scenarios that maybe we can play around with? Go on then, I like a few scenarios. Throw one at me. You're aware that your son is hanging out with a crackhead, and that crackhead has said we should take some crack together. You find out about this, what's your action? Well, I do nothing. I just allow them to just sit there and carry on smoking crack together. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense, but let's just throw another one out there. You are aware that your son is with somebody who says they can fly, and they're now at the top of a tall tower, and they're gonna jump off because they've both convinced themselves that actually they are able to take flight. Well, I mean, at the end of the day, he did always have a penchant for birds, so I'd just say he's got to learn the hard way, hasn't he? He's going to do it with or without me, so I'm not going to call the emergency services. I'm just going to hope that he doesn't break everything when he falls off. Honestly, that's just terrible parenting. Oh, they're going to do it behind. My son's going to get abused behind my back. So at the end of the day, I was going to let it happen. That's the mindset of his father. He also, like I said that he'd lie for his son as he had to. They're very concerning behaviours. Now, as this case moves forward, prosecutors end up putting the father's case on hold. And the reason for that is obviously he's considered at this point a cooperating defendant. So as a cooperating defendant, you know, if you're a prosecutor, you kind of think to yourself, you might be really handy giving evidence about what you knew, about what happened during watching the developing relationship between the teacher and the victim, and you might be able to take the stand and help us in our case. So that case is put on hold. Now, around the same time, the LaCaille superintendent, Kent Steinberg, wrote a statement saying this: "We've been made aware of criminal charges being filed against an employee for alleged misconduct. We understand that charges are not the same as a conviction, and the employee is to be considered innocent until proven guilty. We must stress, however, that the alleged misconduct is inexcusable and does not meet the professional standards for district employees." So that meant that the district decided that there was no way that we're going to keep employing her, because clearly she's breached the actual organization's policies by having this inappropriate text relationship, let alone anything else with the student. They also went on to say, "The district took immediate action once we were aware of the situation, and the investigation is ongoing. The employee has not been in the district since December the 8th, 2023, and we do not anticipate her return. We strive to ensure that every individual is treated with respect, kindness and fairness, so that all feel safe, secure and welcomed in our schools." Just going to throw it out there. When a teacher is being highly inappropriate in their conversations and relationships with students, pull them into the office and don't just have a discussion. Carry out a formal complaints procedure. Back yourself, as opposed to just having to say afterwards that you want to make people feel safe, secure and welcomed into the school. Maybe make it clear that you protect students by investigating these kind of rumours and taking appropriate action when it's found that students are telling a story about a teacher being highly inappropriate, as opposed to just having a quick chat with them and saying, maybe don't show the camel toe that often anymore. I'm not saying that that's actually the conversation that happened. I can't imagine that principal, for example, would be like, just put those headlights away and make sure you pack that camel toe so people can't tell. At the end of the day, I'm sure it was done in a much more discerning way, but no formal action was taken, and that's a massive failure on the part of the school. Now, on the 5th of January, this is the day after the criminal complaint, police officers in Garden Ridge, Texas, acting on the Missouri warrants, locate and arrest Carmack. She's booked in to the Kamal County Jail, and she's identified as a fugitive from Missouri, so she's therefore held with authorities at that point while they're arranging her extradition. Now, after around 2 weeks in Texas custody, she was returned to custody in Missouri. And it's around this same time a Pulaski County grand jury is convened and issued a sweeping indictment containing both felony and misdemeanor counts. So in addition to the original felony allegations, the indictment added 7 misdemeanor charges of furnishing pornographic material to minors. So basically, at this point, she faces a mixture of felonies and misdemeanors. Now, we get to January the 21st, 2024. She's booked at this point into the Pulaski County Jail. She's held on a $250,000 bond, and by early February 2024, the case is headed for trial. So a jury trial was initially set for May, and the prosecution is therefore preparing to present the evidence, and it's damning evidence. Bear in mind, they've got phone records, they've got witness testimonies, they've got the statement from the student involved. But then, on the 17th of April 2024, the trial gets formally moved back to the 12th of August. Now, there's no public explanation given, but trials resets are pretty common in cases with heavy digital evidence and also multiple witnesses, so I'd take it that that would be the reason behind it. Now, weeks before the rescheduled trial date is to begin, instead of facing a jury, guess what? She decides she's going to enter a plea deal. I bet she was begging for that plea deal, because she was looking at losing a considerable amount of her life behind bars. And like I said, judges and juries do not like it when you say you're not guilty, and it is plainly obvious that you are 100% guilty beyond measure. It's as simple as that. But she's obviously had time to think about it, gestate on it. There's a plea put forward. So on the 6th of September 2024, inside the Pulaski County Circuit Court, Clifton Carmack stood before Circuit Judge John Vega. And here, she pleads guilty to a single felony count, sexual contact with a student, which I think is unbelievable. I genuinely feel like this is, again, evidence of how women who look a certain way are treated differently in the courts. So in exchange for this plea, the state agreed to drop the more serious charges. This included the statutory rape, the child molestation, the child endangerment, as well as those 7 misdemeanor counts related to the pornography. So the plea deal, it did have, shall we say, a very clear, specific sentencing framework. So according to Prosecutor Hillman, Clinton Carmack would face 4 years in the Missouri Department of Corrections, which I again feel is just a tiny amount of time that you would serve in comparison to the damage you will have done to that boy. Now, the sentence had to run under Missouri's unique sex offender assessment program. It's commonly known as SOAP. So Under this program, defendants will serve an initial period inside a state facility. They then undergo a really intensive assessment and treatment regimen. And then later, at a judicial review, the court will decide whether to release them on probation or order them to serve the full term. Now, Hillman later stated publicly that only about 50% of offenders succeed. So after she enters a plea, she does get released onto house arrest. This is where she is monitored electronically and she's awaiting sentencing. So on the 11th of October 2024, this is around a month after she's been on house arrest, at 11 a.m. in Judge Beggar's courtroom, with the plea already, as we know, accepted, the judge's task was to impose the agreed structure and outline the conditions under which the sentence could be revisited. So Judge Beggar sentenced her to 4 years in the Missouri Department of Corrections and also ordered her into that 120-day sex offender treatment and assessment program. And he said that he would make it clear to all who were listening that he was going to personally reevaluate her case once the treatment team submitted their findings. Now, during this hearing, where she got that piffly sentence, as far as I'm concerned, Judge Beggar explained that the law permitted him to suspend the execution of the remaining sentence and place her on probation. So after she did that 120 days, if they saw fit, she could basically go home. But he said it was only if she demonstrated meaningful progress and accountability. So he told the courtroom that he would, quote, check up on her behaviour and progress. Additionally, under Missouri law, she was now classified as a Tier 3 sex offender, and that actually requires lifetime registration. Also, her teaching licence was permanently revoked, and we'd expect that because she can't be around kids. Now, interestingly, Prosecutor Hillman actually spoke to the press after the sentencing had gone ahead, and they said, look, lots of defendants do not pass the sex offender program, because understandably, there's a lot of people saying, what? 120 days on some kind of nice program, and then you get to go home? But this prosecutor said, no, there's no guarantee she's going to be released. Now, following her sentencing, Clifton Carmen was transferred to the Chillicothe Correctional Centre. This is a women's prison where that 120-day treatment program is conducted. So on the 14th of February 2025, the Department of Corrections had indeed completed the assessment of her treatment performance and submitted the findings to see whether indeed, after that treatment and after her performance within that treatment, whether she could indeed go on probation and go home. Now, bear in mind, judges in Missouri, they are not required to follow the DOC's recommendations. So they basically weigh the information alongside public safety, rehabilitation, the severity of the individual crime. And at the review hearing, the judge was really decisive in what they believe should happen next. And he said on record that it would be, quote, an abuse of discretion to release Clifton Carmack at this point. So instead, as opposed to putting her on probation, he ordered the full 4-year sentence to be executed. So that means she will continue serving her time in state prison. Now, it could be that the reason for that is they didn't feel that she had taken accountability and responsibility for her crime. Or it could be that when it came back to the judge, he'd never really had any intention of allowing her to go home. He could have thought that 4 years was incredibly lenient on that plea deal and thought to himself, you know, the minimum she...
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
He's going to get is those 4 years in prison. Either way, she is staying inside to serve her time, which is a good thing because it's about the impact on victims and whether they see that somebody has been actually treated in a way that they would expect by the courts. Because as a victim, the only recourse that you have is to see somebody go to prison to actually get into trouble for these crimes. Otherwise, it means that you didn't matter and what happened to you didn't matter either. And that's deeply problematic on a psychological basis where victims are concerned. Now, because of that sentence, Carmack still remains incarcerated at Chillicothe and she is required to serve the remainder of the sentence and is also bound, as I said, to that lifetime sex offender registration, which is a good thing. And like I said, the judge's choice not to suspend the sentence, it shows that despite the fact that that plea bargain had reduced the charges and the seriousness of the conduct, the concerns raised during that assessment and also during his own personal belief system outweighed the request for probation. Now, Carmack's case has come to an end, that goes without saying, but because she took a plea deal, well, that means that the victim's father's case has begun in the background. So once their guilty plea was secured, Crichton's cooperation wasn't needed anymore, so his own case resumed. So we get to early October of 2024, Crichton had entered into a plea agreement. So rather than proceeding to trial on the original felony child endangerment charge, he pled guilty to a significantly reduced misdemeanor offence of peace disturbance. This is a major reduction from the serious felony he was initially facing. And local reports confirm that following his plea, he was formally scheduled for sentencing on the 6th of November 2024, but there hasn't been any coverage in documents that I found to talk about the specific penalty imposed. But it's such a light offence he's in trouble for now, I would imagine it's not going to involve any incarceration. It will just be a slap on the wrist, which again, to some degree makes sense because I think the victim would be victimised further if his dad ends up in prison. I mean, he's going to have a lot of guilt associated with the loyalty that he has felt for Carmack and the fact that she's gone to prison, and even though hopefully he's getting help to come to terms with the fact that he was a victim, can you imagine also losing your father and feeling responsible for that loss? I think that would be a double trauma for the victim, and he does not deserve it. But again, what have we seen in this case? We have seen an attractive female being treated so leniently. If that had been a 26-year-old male teacher, he'd be looking at 20 years without a shadow of a doubt. And it talks and speaks of us failing victims time and time again just because they are male. Now, some of you, I know, because I see in the comments, you say, I don't think he's going to have any issues. He was having sex with a really beautiful teacher. What's not to like? That just isn't what the research evidence is, though. The research clearly evidences the contrary, that down the line, these young men grow into adult males who suffer, and they suffer on a range of levels. And they're the ones that are tracked and followed and researched. And that's the evidence that comes forward. So there will be people watching this now who had sex with their teachers when they were 16, 15, 14 years of age. And as males, they won't have spoken to anyone about it because they'll have felt like, what was to complain about? But secretly within their own mind and their emotional disturbance, they will know that the trauma has had a huge impact, that they were groomed, that they are victims. And they're the ones who stay silent because that bias in society where, hey, pat on the back, you did a great job, it's fantastic having sex with your teacher, plays so heavy on the conscience, they don't even feel able to speak about it. We have to do so much more to vocalise the distress of young men that this happens to, because otherwise we're confining them to a prison of silence. And when those speak out and get results like the one I've just covered today, the question is, what's the point? No one takes it that seriously anyway. And that's wrong on every single level. Young men matter, what happens to them matters, and teachers who abuse their trust, they deserve the full weight and impact of the law coming down heavily on them. See you again next time. Be safe.
It is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.